Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. It's 3 p.m., and it's Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you. Do you have a question or something you'd like to talk about with us? Well, we have a line open for you right now at 844-322-2742. Whether you're the U.S. or Canada, it's toll-free, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got a great passage of Scripture today, and for all of you listeners out there in Basic Gospel Nation, we just pray this is going to be a huge encouragement to you. If you've struggled, if you've doubted your salvation, this is one of those verses or one of those passages that really solidifies what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and what he is preserving for you through his everlasting, indestructible life. So we're going to look at verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 7. And it says, "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office." So the writer of Hebrews is talking about a change in the priesthood. Mm-hmm. So there was Levi and his bloodline, and Moses and Aaron were a part of that bloodline, and they served as the first priests. And the high priest came from Aaron's bloodline, and they had functions. And all of that bloodline operated in the priesthood. And there were many of those. And so one would be born, and he would get to a certain age, and he would take on his job, and he would do it for a while and die, and then somebody else would come and take his place. And that's what he's saying. There were many, 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 many priests over that 1,500-year timeline from Moses all the way to Jesus Christ. But now there's a new priest in town, a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus Christ. And there's only one of him.
Yeah.
There's not many priests. There's just one priest. And here's why. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Jesus Christ lives forever. Now, that's assurance right there. Mm-hmm. Just those words, the fact that Jesus Christ lives forever, really is the support for eternal security. Because he lives, we live. Now, consequently, here's the deal. Here's why this matters. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So because he lives forever, because he has a permanent priesthood, he saves completely. So if you have come to Christ by faith, if you have drawn near to God through him, that's what that call of the gospel does. It draws you unto God, and then when you believe and receive, you're connected. You're together. And what that means is that you've been saved completely by this Jesus who lives forever. Now, it goes on to say, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So his blood was eternal in nature. It took away the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. They've been sent away as far as the east is from the west. God remembers them no more. There is no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus is alive, and he saved us completely. That's eternal security. So this whole salvation thing is by grace. So it's from God, and it's for us. From God, for us. So if it's from God, it's going to be perfect, complete, eternal in nature. The salvation that he brings to us is a permanent salvation. It's not a temporary reprieve. It's not a deal, hey, I might save you if you will do this, this, and this. That's not the deal that God puts on the table. He simply saves us by grace through faith in Jesus. And when he does, that is a complete and total salvation. This is such a huge deal, isn't it, Richard?
It's a huge deal, and it's the only deal. Everything else we come up with fails. Any attempt on my part or your part to earn something will fail. Any attempt on my part or your part to hold on to something we've already been given will fail. It all depends solely and exclusively on Jesus. And he lives forever. He's a priest forever. He has saved us to the uttermost.
Yes. So this is good news, folks. And we want you to have this eternal security.
Yeah.
We want you to walk in this confidence, knowing that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. And when you look at Jesus and the fact that he lives forever and the fact that he has saved us completely, and you really start resting in that, then this assurance starts to fill every area of your thinking. And as it starts to fill every area of your thinking, you start to relax and you start to enjoy this relationship that you have with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So this is a vitally important issue.
Yes, indeed.
We want you to walk in the confidence every day that you are perfect, complete, saved totally because of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. You know, John 10:10 quotes Jesus as saying, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Understanding, as Bob was saying, the state of your salvation is vital to living the full and abundant life that Jesus has offered to all who come to him by faith. You know, without this understanding, Satan the thief will steal your identity as a child of God, will kill the assurance of your salvation, and destroy the joy of your life in Christ. And we don't want you to be in that or fall into it. That's a trap. And if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that in him you are indeed safe and secure. To help your understanding of your identity, we're offering this wonderful CD. It's Eternal Security. That's the name of it. And we'll send you a copy as our way of saying thanks for your support this month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can visit basicgospel.net/Canada to make your contribution. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Well, again, open lines if it's about, 7 minutes after 3, it's the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, Bob, I just wanted to say something about this new resource that we have available this month called Eternal Security. It's three messages. Richard and I have tag-teamed on this, and we really do a thorough investigation of the Word of God to see what the Word of God has to say about this salvation that we've received by grace through faith in Jesus. And the evidence is overwhelming that when Christ saves, he saves us forever, and there's no backing out on his part. Mm-hmm. And we really think it's vitally important for you and your walk with Christ. And it's a wonderful tool that you can use to help minister to others. As you encounter believers, as you go to church and meet with people and start talking about your relationship with Christ, and you start listening to them about theirs, you're going to encounter a lot of doubt. You're going to encounter a lot of fear. You're going to encounter a lot of guilt in the lives of people who claim to know Jesus Christ. And why are those things there? Why are they doubting? Why are they fearful? Why are they living with guilt? Because they're not aware of all that Christ has accomplished for them. They're not living with the assurance that they are eternally secure in him. So this is a great tool that you can pass out and share with people. So don't miss out on this great resource. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month, and you're going to be, I think, investing in yourself, mm-hmm. your relationship with Christ, and through your gift to Basic Gospel, you're going to be investing in the lives of others and helping give them assurance of salvation as well.
Well, once again, you can find the website, basicgospel.net, and click donate, and you can make your contribution. You can use PayPal or the Basic Gospel app, and when you do, make your gift this month. We'll send you this 3D CD series called Eternal Security. Once again, 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now. But in the meantime, from Reno, Nevada, we had a question from David concerning Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. David writes, "After struggling for many years because of horrible choices I made after coming to Christ, I was beginning to believe there was real hope again after listening intently to your program, especially the Hard Passages series. Then I got hit with Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. A lot of reputable Christian teachers and pastors believe that a person can lose their salvation. Can you please explain these verses to me?" That's from David in Reno.
Well, David, thanks for writing to us. And thank you for your kind comments. We're certainly grateful that the radio broadcast is helping you along your journey. And oftentimes we start going down that journey. We're starting to learn to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's passages like this that kind of knock us off that course.
Right.
And I think when that happens, we don't give up on what we've learned already about this salvation that we have. We start to say, hey, I read this, and it sounds like we can lose our salvation, but based on everything else I've learned, I know that's not true. So this must mean something else. And so, Lord, when you're ready to reveal it to me, I'm ready for the answer. And I think that's how we need to approach these particular passages. So it's Matthew 24, starting in verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? And so immediately, our attention is turned back to us, isn't it?
Can be.
Yes. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? What is that person like? What does he do that unwise and unfaithful servants don't do? Mm-hmm. And then we start looking at our behavior and all of that sort of thing, and that starts to scare us. Whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we read that and say, okay, can we become unfaithful? Can we become like this wicked servant? And the answer to that is no. So we're seeing some characteristics. You're going to know somebody by their fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is practicing righteousness, it's because at their core they have been made righteous. If they're practicing sin, if they're living in sin, it's because at their core they're dead spiritually. And that's all this really is talking about. And there are some who pretend, who try to say with their lips that they're really good, but in their core, in their heart, there's a different story. And that's all they're saying. And so at the final judgment, they're going to experience that outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Richard, thoughts on this?
Yeah, I find it fascinating that the teachers and pastors who claim that you can lose your salvation are really acting like a servant who beats his fellow people.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be. Now, I'm not saying they're lost. That's not my call. But let's be consistent here, folks. I mean, Jesus says who's who right off the bat. There's a faithful and wise servant, and there's a wicked servant. Time will expose who's who. But don't think yourself above Jesus. I mean, we just read Jesus lives to make intercession for us forever. He saved us to the uttermost. Who am I as a teacher to come up to Bob Davis or Bob Christopher or anybody else and say, well, you know, if you don't quit doing what you're doing, God's going to kill you.
Yeah.
He's going to cut you into pieces. Well, that's garbage.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it.
Right.
Go to the truth of the matter. Does behavior matter? Sure it does. We have to to be walking by grace through faith, and we'll see the fruit of the Spirit revealed in our lives, and our choosing will change and our thinking will change. But never buy into an argument that says you'd better change first or God's going to get you.
Yeah.
Never go there.
Yeah. And to bring us full circle in this, when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside.
Yes.
He seals us for that day of redemption. So we are forever with Christ.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Victoria, Texas, and talk to Barry. Hi, Barry. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. How about you?
Oh, we're just blessed. Doing great. I just I was reading Romans 3 the other day, yesterday, and I came across verse 30. It says, the uncircumcision, God is one, he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. What's the difference between by faith and through faith? Please, sir.
Well, that's a good, that is a good, very good question. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of real distinction that we need to make there. We don't really need to put a lot of weight into those different words. So I know the Jews were trying to earn righteousness by the law. And so I think he's just saying it's going to be by the law of faith, not by the law of Moses. And for the Gentile who's never been under the law, we're going to experience this new life through faith in Jesus. So as Paul wrote it in Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace through faith that we are saved. So I think, like I said, for the Jew, it was, by the law of Moses, and now he's saying, no, it's by the law of faith, and here it's through faith for the Gentiles. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
The next verse says, do we then overthrow the law by faith? Turns out that in the Greek, the word through, at least in this version, the English Standard, the word through and the word by are the same Greek word. Now, in the other verse, the word by is a different word. And so without, asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, this is just Paul explaining that, look, it's Jesus, and Jews and Gentiles must come to Jesus to receive life.
Yes. Yes. So just look at that whole context. What becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By of law of works? No. But by the law of faith, and that was important for the circumcision, right? Because they were all caught up in this law of works, and he's saying, no, it's not by the law of works, it's by this law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Well, for the Gentile, it's just, we're just going to receive this through faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hope that helps, Barry.
Yes, sir. Like always. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thanks. Hey, you too. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling Basic Gospel Nation today.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Barry. Well, we have this question from Corey through the Basic Gospel app. He says, as a new covenant pastor, I love teaching Christ as life. However, I'm not a theologian. My question is about predestination and election. I believe that God's intent through the finished work of Christ is that all of mankind is predestined, but he wants all to become his elect through receiving salvation. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's this idea that God chooses some for salvation, which means he chooses others for damnation. That's a theological position that is out there. There are certain passages in the Bible that are fertile ground for some of those conclusions. Romans 9, 10, and 11, for example. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. We see some of that in 1 Peter chapter 1. But when you really start looking at the context, what are these apostles actually talking about in these various passages, you see that the subject matter is not about individuals, God choosing this person and damning that person. It is about Jews and Gentiles. And what you see is that God has predestined that both Jew and Gentile will be saved in exactly the same way and will become partakers in this new covenant body of believers. So he's going to take people out of both Jew and Gentile, and he's going to make one new man called the church. So that's what's been predestined, that Jew and Gentile will be saved in exactly the same way through faith in this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And then we see that some other things are predestined as well. It's predestined that we're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God predestined that before creation even existed. Mm-hmm. He made that decree. He said this is going to happen to those who are in Christ. They're going to become like Christ in his image. It is predestined, chosen by God, that we're going to be adopted as sons, that we're going to be holy and blameless in God's sight. So you see a lot of things that are predestined for those who call upon the name of the Lord. We are going to be glorified. We are going to be with Jesus forever. That's a predetermined destination for us. So to really understand predestination and to see it as a theological reality that draws us together, that unifies us, we need to recognize that when he's talking about predestination, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. He's talking about the fact that both will be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and that all those who are saved are going to be made in the likeness of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's a great question. We certainly appreciate it. There's so much confusion around that, and we're actually going to do a YouTube video on that very soon. So look forward to that. Well, let's go to Marietta, Georgia, and talk to Don. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Hey, just wanted to get y'all's response on what Paul said in Romans 7, past the 14th verse, which...
The things he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the things he doesn't want to do, he does anyway.
Yes, sir, but the comment that he made twice was that it was no longer I doing it, but it was sin living in me. And in response to what I heard the early gentleman say about the wicked servant, I don't believe any born-again child of God.
Yeah, well, let me jump in on this, Don. Don,
yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Because we're almost out of time, and let me just give a quick answer. Any time that you're trying to live through obedience to the law, the sin that's in your members gets activated, and it becomes a force that can move you down a path. And so that's what Paul was saying. Hey, the things that I wanted to do, I was trying to do it through my own self-effort, through my own strength, and I end up allowing sin to move me down this path. So when we realize that we've died to sin, that we're no longer under the law, then we can experience freedom in our Christian lives.
Yeah. Don, thank you for your call. We are out of time. I want to remind you, friends, that your gift will help us reach others who need to hear, believe, and live the good news daily, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you the 3-CD series that we've been talking about called Eternal Security. Go online to basicgospel.net to make your donation, or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Also, I want to remind you, we're going to be back tomorrow at the same time. So for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back here. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.